Okay, this coming week we're going to have the honor and privilege of learning from Parshas Bo. And the Torah begins Parshas Bo by telling us that Paro and Moshe Rabbeinu get involved in an exchange prior to Makas Arbe. After the Egyptians turn around and complain to Paro that he should finally give in and let the Jews go, he says, "Mi v'mi haholichim, who are those who are coming to travel?" Now, shouldn't the correct phraseology be "Mi v'mi yelech," who and whom will go? What's haholichim? Why the stress on the present tense? So, Rabbi Mordechai Baned, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the famous Rav of Nicholsburg, is quoted as having connected this trip to that of the Olim to Yerushalayim. The Mishnah in Chagiga tells us that that only those who can walk are chayav to go up to Yerushalayim for Aliyah L'Regel. So here too, perhaps, Paro assumed that since the trip was for a spiritual retreat, it would have the same parameters as Aliyah L'Regel. And who is responsible for Aliyah L'Regel? Lochein L'chuna HaGvarim. That it's only the men, not the Na'arim and the Zakenim, only those who are able to walk. So, Paro, of course, refuses to send the people, and he experiences Makas Arba, and then later Makas Choshech, and then he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hishamer Lacha, Penros Panai, Ki Biyom Roscha Panai Tamus. He says to him, "You should be very careful not to see my face, for on the day you see my face, you shall die." Why don't you say, Kira Oscha Panai? Why don't you just simply say, Paro, that when you see my face? Why the reference to Biyomer Oscha? So the Targum Yonasan reveals that Paro had a deal with Dasam and Aviram, that on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu would appear before him, he would send a message to them, and they would go ahead and they would kill Moshe Rabbeinu. So since they were not welcome in the palace, they were indeed slaves, the punishment would have to come later in the day, and thus, says Targum Yonasan, this is the basis for the reference to Biyom Oscha Panai. It wouldn't be literally at the moment, it would come later in the day. The Riverdale Rosh Hashiva of Isaac Azban Shalita points out that one sees the terrible effects of Bizayon, a personal humiliation here. Take a look at the time frame. Dasan and Aviram had been embarrassed privately by Moshe Rabbeinu many, many years earlier. And still, they were willing to murder him to preclude their own freedom and the freedom of an entire Am Yisrael in order to get even based on Moshe Rabbeinu's embarrassment. It's an important lesson in life. We're also blessed this coming week's Sedra to learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells to Moshe Rabbeinu, Dabar Nabi Aznea Am Vishalu Ishmeisreo Visha Meisre Usa, Klei Chesef, Klei Zav Usmalos, that Moshe was told to tell the people to request that each man should ask from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor to receive silver, gold, and clothing. Now, why was the idea of material wealth so crucial over here? So, Rav Govach Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva of Karen B'Yavne, and the founder of the Hesder movement, notes that part of the job of a galus is that it's supposed to teach us how to take from the experience and turn it towards Hashem. These same kelim that we used for the Egyptians for inappropriate purposes would now have to be refashioned into appropriate things. And that indeed is thus, at the end of the galus, part of the geula is taking nitzotzos, the experiences, and dedicating them for Hashem. And thus, the gold and the silver and the smalos that were used to entice would now be used for personal and spiritual betterment. We read about the first mitzvah in this week's Sedra, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim. Rav Shechter would often quote the Netziv, who notes that the reason why the nations of the world count Rosh Hashanah from Tishrei is because all of the rules of nature, indeed all of the sciences and political events of the rest of the world, are predestined based on the rules and the regulations of Sheshes Yimei Bereishis, and they're predictable based on the rules that were apparent on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei when Adam HaRishon was created, Hayom HaRas Olam, at the end of creation. Rosh Shechter would add that herein lies the difference as it relates to you and me, to Am Yisrael. We're a nation that lives l'malam in HaTeva, above the rules of nature, and as a result, we exist miraculously. The month of miracles, the Chodesh that's dedicated to miracles, is the month of Nisan, and so it seems only logical to count Rosh Hashanah for Am Yisrael based on the Rosh Chodesh Shal Nisan V'Hageula. And thus, HaChodesh HaZeh, this month, is Lochem Rosh Chodashim, as opposed to the rest of the world, because we are indeed Lamala Min HaTeva. At the end of the Sedra, we read about the Geulas Mitzrayim, V'hayak Yomru Aleichem B'neichem, right? When your children ask, Mo'avodah Zos Lachem, so we are supposed to give them an answer, B'chozek Yadot Tzianu Hashem Mitzrayim, V'yikodam V'yishachavu. And the nation bowed to Hashem over this experience, and Rashi notes that what were they bowing for? They were bowing out of excitement and thanks to the news, the Besoras Habanim, that there would be children in this situation. But of course, the question has to be raised. We know that there are keneged arba banim dibra Torah, that there are times that different issues are raised. Why are we bowing for children who oppose the religion? This is the question of the Ben Harasha. Why bow to a child who opposes the religion? The late Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Torah Vadas, Rosh Shlomo Hyman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that as long as the Torah remains inspiring and living, then it's crucial that everyone continues to ask questions, even heretical ones. Because by asking those questions, it guarantees that the children will continue to delve into Torah. By the way, it also guarantees that they'll still find places that one gets to ask important questions too. Our educational system demands that we always have the power to ask, seek, imbibe, and transfer, and translate, and understand our religion. And by having the places to ask the questions to, and by having the opportunity to have those questions answered, we know that we guarantee a great future for Am Yisrael. And then we read that that at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that the Egyptians pushed very hard by Yechazak Mitzrayim al-Am, that the Egyptians strung on the nation, lemaher l'shalcham in haaretz, to get them to move out of the land quickly, ki amru kulanu meisim, because they said we're all dying. Now why would they freak out, thinking that they were all going to die? They knew the death was limited to the b'chorim, and also, once it was chatzos halayla, what are they worried about? There wasn't going to be any more death after that, at that point. Shrub Eliezer Turk, Shalita, he's the Rav of Kilas Purushim in the Brachfeld section of Yerushalayim. He explained that the Egyptians were learning that there were many more covert Bechorim than they realized. Hence, Ein Bayis Asher Ein Shamis, that there was no house that had no death to it. And that at Chatzos HaLayla, people started to die. But many were left over suffering a slow death. It was this discovery that they were rushing to get the Jews out in order to hopefully forestall an end. Finally, at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, we read about all the different responsibilities that come along in the parasha of Kaddish Liko Bechor. And every first, Uvetach Hamor Tifdele B'seh, we're told that a Petach Hamor, when it comes to a firstborn donkey, we redeem it with a lamb. Why is the donkey singled out? This is a wonderful young Rav in Cleveland, Ohio, Rabbi David Gross Shalita, who comments that the donkey is responsible for bringing the Jews to Mitzrayim. And thus, citing the Meshech Chachma, Rabbi Gross argues that the role of the Petach Hamor Mitzvah is that it provides us a commemoration that Hashem orchestrated the entire process, both the process that brought the Jews to Mitzrayim, as well as the process of Geula, with an extreme reminder that Hashem didn't change his mind, but rather that he planned on redeeming the people at the right time. And that's why we don't just commemorate the end of the process, we commemorate the beginning of the process as well. Finally, this week's Haftorah, we turn to Yirmiyahu. It's an eerily similar Haftorah to Yechezkel's Haftorah from last week. We read the words from Yirmiyahu, Madua nischaf abirecha, why have the mighty ones been washed away? And then we are told, Ki Hashem hadafo, the answer is simple, that was the will of Hashem. Rav Shlomo Aviner Shalita explains that Egypt was accustomed to its supremacy and was confident of a miraculous victory. They were certain that they'd be successful in battle, and they weren't at all concerned before the young brazen King Nebuchadnezzar. And that's where they erred. No nation on earth, and no empire, no matter how strong it is, lasts forever. Nations appear on the stage of history, they fulfill their historical role, and then the nations disappear. And that's what Yaakov Avinu understood when he saw Malachim Olim V'Yardim, when he saw angels ascending and descending the ladder. the meaning of the dream is that each dream is represented by an angel, and each nation is represented by an angel, and it can reach greater heights, but in the end, it will go down into the annals of history. Yaakov Avinu began to fear that the same thing would be true for Am Yisrael, and so he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who calmed him, no, you're different from the other nations. You're an Am Nitzchi, you're a nation that's eternal. It may be that you have a difficult destiny, but you're going to overcome the trials. Because as Am Yisrael is concerned, we are incapable of being destroyed. Ki et cha'ani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, I'm with you. And this promise, like the others, is fulfilled each and every day. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu dismantled and caused each and every one of our worst enemies to fall, he also promises that the Bnei Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael, will return to Eretz Yisrael in order to enjoy eternal peace and eternal security. May that bracha be mekuyam in us in our very days. Shabbat Shalom to all.